I invite your attention to a passage of Scripture found in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, if you'll turn there with me, please. Philippians chapter 4. And I want to begin reading in verse 4, and I'm going to read down to verse 13. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 down through verse 13. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now my subject tonight is, I can do all things. I can do all things. I often hear people say, I can't do this, or I can't do that. Well, I'm going to punch holes in that tonight, or I'm going to say the Word of God's going to punch holes in that for every born-again believer here tonight. Now, first of all, God has provided the means whereby that we can know what the all things are. The one thing that God has provided for us whereby that we can know what the all things are, He has provided for us the Word of God. There's no guessing about what God intends for us to do or what God wants us to do. Because He tells us in His Word what He wants us to do. I believe that Jesus made this clear when He said, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. But not only is the means that God has provided for us the Word of God, but God has also provided for us that we might know the all things by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was speaking in the Gospel of the book of John, and there in the 14th chapter of the book of John, and there in verse 17 and verse 26, Jesus makes this very clear. Now, sometimes people say, I can't do that. And sometimes people say, I don't know what to do as a child of God or as a believer. But I believe the same God that gave us the Word of God is the same God that gives us the Holy Spirit and leads us and teaches us the things that He wants us to do. For look in John 14, 17. Now notice this, the Spirit of truth. Now there is the spirit of error, but I'm not going to get off on that. And a lot of people are led around. They say the Spirit led me to do it, and I don't doubt it. But it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the Spirit of truth, but it was the Spirit of error. The Spirit of truth never leads contrary to the truth. It's always the Spirit of error. And when people that are saved by the grace of God are professed to be, and they're doing that which is contrary to the Word of God and accusing the Holy Spirit never leads you to do anything or never tells you to do anything that is contrary to the Word of God. Because he says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, now notice this, because it seeth him not, and in essence, you see him, and notice this, and neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. But that's not all that he said here. Now in verse 26, notice. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Now notice. Whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you what? He shall teach you all things. Now remember, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But how are you going to be able to do all things if you don't know all things? But God has provided whereby that we can know all things. He has provided the Word of God, and He has provided the Holy Spirit that shall teach you all things, and notice, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. But this is not all that God has provided as a means whereby that we can know the all things. First, He has provided the Word of God. Secondly, He has provided the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, He has provided the man of God. If you'll look in your Bibles to a familiar passage of Scripture, in the book of Ephesians, and there in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians and verse 11, notice there as I read a few verses all the way down to verse 16. And notice what Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus. Now, I believe, and I believe the Bible bears this out, I believe that God, in His purpose and plan, and gave the Word of God, which is eternal. The Holy Spirit comes and not only indwells every believer, but the Holy Spirit also indwells true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe it's the same Holy Spirit that leads and directs the God-called man that's called by the Holy Spirit to teach the all things to His people. For look what Paul said here in Ephesians 4:11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now look, the purpose. For the perfecting of the saints. Now, brethren, the perfecting of the saints comes through the preached Word of God under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, both not only of the man of God that preaches, but also that teaches the person that is the recipient of the Word of God. Now, look, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the local, true New Testament Baptist church where God has brought people into, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth, and where all of the counsel of God is preached under the power of the Holy Spirit and also under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. I tell you, there is not anything that if you're a member of New Testament Baptist Church that you should not know from the Word of God. I'm not saying you know all of God's Word. I don't know all of God's Word. But I tell you what, the Lord's working on it. He's been working on me ever since day one that He saved me. And He'll keep it up till the last day. But notice, now here's the purpose, verse 13. Till we all come in unity of the faith. Now how many of you here tonight would like to see this church in unity of faith? That is, everybody believing the same thing, everybody doing the same thing, everybody going the same way, everybody thinking the same thing, and everybody having the same mind. And that's exactly what God designed for every New Testament Baptist church, exactly the way God designed for it to be, till we all come in unity of the faith, notice, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now there's a purpose for this. And he gives it right here. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with a wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Brother, I'll tell you, the purpose that God has ordained these means whereby that we can know the all things is that we might grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might be established, and that we might know the truth, not only believe the truth, we might know the truth, we might put it into practice in our lives. Amen. As people that are born again believers and members of New Testament Baptist churches that have been taught the Word of God. And he said, but speaking the truth, and I like this, in love, may grow up into Him, notice, in all things. Now notice this, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Brother, I believe, and I know the Word of God teaches, that God has provided the means whereby, as a born-again believer and a member of one of the Lord's true churches, He has provided whereby that we can know what we ought to do as a child of God. We can know the all things. I tell you, and it's only the Lord's churches that you'll find that. For the Lord's churches is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And that is where the whole counsel of God is proclaimed. And the whole counsel of God is taught from beginning to end. Now, so we often hear people say this, and you do too. Well, I know I ought to do that, but I can't. Now, I'm talking about the things of the Lord. I'm talking about things of the New Testament church. I'm talking about serving the Lord. Said, I know what the Bible says, but you know, I can't. Well, no, that's not what our text says. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will impress upon your hearts Philippians 4:13. Now, we notice here, there's an Old Testament example. You remember that when God was going to use Moses, and God came to him and spoke to him in the burning bush, and he related to Moses the task that he had before him, and that was to go over into Egypt and to lead the children of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage. And you remember how it went with Moses. You remember what Moses began to say, and you remember the excuses that he began to make. And you know he said, and you know he thought about, well, they're not going to believe me. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on. It's just like talking to people that are lost. They may not believe you, but you can still talk to them. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on. But the thing of it is, and then he went on so far as to say, well, Lord, I'm not an eloquent man. And you remember, God never talked short-handed because he already had Aaron on the way to be a mouthpiece for him. He already had him on the way. In essence, what Moses was saying, Lord, I can't. And that's exactly what many born-again believers say today. Now, I believe that Paul here is saying in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things, now here what we must remember, through Christ, which strengthened me. Paul didn't say, I can do all things through myself. And that's where we fall so many times, is because we try to do it ourselves. And we try to do it in our own energy. And we try to do it in the flesh. But that's not the promise in the Word of God. The promise is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What happens is, we feel compelled to do something, and we go out and we try it on our own, or we don't even consult the Lord, we don't even talk to the Lord, and we fail. Then we become discouraged. But I believe that we see the all things is sometimes misused, and the all things is abused many times. Now, the all things does not mean anything that's contrary to the Word of God. And I hear people sometimes saying they can do all things and claiming this promise from Philippians 4:13, and it's contrary to the Word of God. That's not what it's talking about. I believe that we need to recognize it. It means whatsoever the Lord commands. And it also says through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now God has not only provided the means whereby we can know the things we're to do, but He has also provided the means whereby we can do the things that we know we ought to do. Brother, I believe that they go together. Now, when we fail to do the things that the Lord commands, the cause is either one of two things. When we fail to do what the Lord tells us in His Word, the cause is either unbelief, is one, or the second one is rebellion. Now I'm talking about for the child of God. When we fail to do what we know that God wants us to do, what we know that we ought to do, the cause is one of the two, either unbelief on our part or rebellion. You can't make anything else out of it. It narrows down, it comes down to that every time. You say, well, that's pretty strong. That's exactly. You say, you mean when we fail to do things that the Lord commands, that's the cause of unbelief? Is it possible for the saved to be guilty of unbelief? Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. And I want you to notice there in Hebrews chapter 3, and notice with me verse 7 down through verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 3. And notice what it says concerning this. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the days of temptation in the wilderness. Notice, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now notice, take heed, brethren. Now, who's brethren? Think about that. Who's brethren? You know who I call brethren? I call brethren brethren. That's brethren that I believe that are saved by the grace of God. And look what he said. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And look at verse 13. But exhort one another daily. Look what it says. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Brother, I'll tell you what sin will do to you. Tell you what sin will do in your life as a child of God. It'll harden you. It'll harden you. And it'll put calluses upon you. And so, many times when we know what God wants us to do, when God speaks to our hearts by the Holy Spirit, through the man of God, through the Word of God, and we don't do what He tells us to do, if the cause is either unbelief, we don't believe it, or the cause is just outright rebellion. Amen. Against God, and rebellion against the God of Word, the Word of God. My heart yearns and my heart is filled so many times. And I know the Lord lays upon my heart. And the Lord impresses me to preach messages. And I preach the Word of God that the Lord would give me. And I bring it and I give it to my people. And then they don't do it. And I hear them make remarks like this. I hear it through the grapevine, you know. And they're such encouraging remarks to me. Said, yes, we know that's what Brother Harvey preaches. And we know that's what he believes. But said, we don't do that. That's so encouraging. It really is. It's just so encouraging. And you know, I believe something's wrong when God leads the pastor, the man of God, to preach the truth of God's Word and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And it is the Word of God. And then you, as members of this church, say, well, I know Brother Titus believes that, but I don't believe it. And what you're saying is, the cause of you not practicing the Word of God of truth is unbelief. Or it is downright rebellion against the Word of God. Sometimes it's against the man of God. And sometimes it's against the church. But there is rebellion that comes. And you know, our pastors are human like anybody else. People in churches, they're very cautious about getting their feelings hurt. You know, and you know, nobody better not hurt my feelings. But you're going to talk about the poor pastor all you want to. You know, ridicule him and run him down. Now, I'm not encouraging you to do that. I'm giving you permission for that. But I'm just using that no matter I'm using it. And so I believe that it's a very serious thing. Now, I want to get down to this thing. What are some of the things that we can do? Now, remember, our subject is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'll tell you, the first thing that we can do is rejoice. Sometimes people say, you don't know my circumstances. And I don't. And I'm not sitting where you sit, and I'm not filling your shoes. Neither did I at any time even come close to the Apostle Paul. But look what Paul said in verse 4. He said, rejoice. Now here it is. Here's the key. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now there's the key. I can do all things how? Through Christ, which strengthens me. And if you're rejoice in the Lord always. And he said, and I say again, rejoice. You know, and people say, and there are various circumstances. There's times. There never was a day that seemingly more people that are born again believers are what they call depression. There's never been more pills taken by any other generation or any other age than this age in which that we're living right now. I'm talking about all of us. Every one of us. And I believe the key or the secret to this whole thing here is Philippians 4:13. I believe it's the key to it. And I believe that we ought to always be rejoicing. And here's the secret. It's not that you can't rejoice. It's that you won't. There it is. And if you say that you can't, you're defying Philippians 4:13. It is either belief or rebellion. It is not that you can't. It is that you won't. Some people are so happy to be miserable. You know, and they just can't find enough to be sad about and to talk about. Now, you know, I know that. I think you know it too. We're all human. So I believe the first thing that we can do is rejoice. Now we can always rejoice in the Lord. It doesn't matter whether it's death. It doesn't matter whether it's life. It doesn't matter whether it's prosperity. It doesn't matter whether it's not prosperity. We can always rejoice in the Lord. We may not be able to rejoice in those circumstances. That's what I'm saying. But just to rejoice in knowing that you're saved. That your sins have been taken away and washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in better shape than a lot of people around you that don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. So regardless as to how dismal or dim that it may be, we can always rejoice through Christ, which strengthens me. Now the second thing that we can always do is we can always pray. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. And brother, here's where we fail. But in but in everything, now they're all things, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. So many times people say, well, I try to pray. It don't seem like it gets very far. And I can't pray. No, it's not you can't. It's that you won't. That's what it is. Brother, I believe that we see here, because if there is no such thing as a child of God that cannot pray. Now, I realize that we become backslidden. And I realize we get out of the will of the Lord. But that's exactly the end of the time for us to pray and to repent of our sins and to call upon the name of the Lord. And we can do praying through Christ, which strengthens me. But then there's another thing that you can do. I can be content. Verse 11. This perhaps is the most restless generation that's ever lived. And I'm not just talking about young people. Where do young people? Who do young people get from? From you adults. Don't lay your young people's problems on anybody before they are due. Right at your feet. Right with you. And that is exactly where it all comes from. Now look, Paul said in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want. And all you have to do is in your mind, flesh back in your mind, all of the things that Paul endured and all that he went through. How he was shipwrecked, how he was hungry, how he was in prison, how he was beaten. And look here, for I have learned, and pray to God that I'd learn this. And I pray to God that you'd learn it. And we all need to learn this. For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And you know, sometimes people try to make a joke, and it's not Texas or Kentucky. He's talking about that kind of a state. But he's talking about the conditions of life that he finds himself in and the circumstances that surround him. Sometimes in poverty. Sometimes in dire need, Paul said. Sometimes he said in distress. Sometimes he said perplexed. Sometimes he said persecuted. Sometimes he said cast down, but not forsaken. What I believe that Paul knew exactly is what he penned here. And so, many times people say, I just can't be content. You know, I get right where we all live. Seem like the more material things we get, the less content we are. Now that's all of it. That's me. And that's every one of us. That's the pulpit and the pew. That's every one of us. And it seems like because the more we get, the more we want. If we get something, we want it bigger and we want it better. And so we have done this. And you know, I hear people say all the time, they'll say, I don't want my children to have to do what I had to do. Yeah, and you'll learn is what you'll do. You are learning them. It's what you do. Giving them everything on a silver platter, buying their automobiles and all their wheels and all of these things. I'll tell you what you're teaching them. You're teaching them to never be content with anything that they have and always want more. I wouldn't trade anything for some of the experiences that I had growing up. And I'm not all that old, but I can talk about a lot of experiences and things, you know, with tires and just old tin cans and wires and sticks and strings and things like that. And I believe, and so people say today, said, I can't be content. No, it's not that you can't. It's that you won't. You won't be content. And you're restless. But I believe that we can, because I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And the Word of God says that he had learned to be content in whatever state that he was in. And it was the Lord that enabled him to be content. But I believe also another thing that we can do is that we can study God's Word. Sometimes people say, I don't know anything about the Bible, and I don't know how to study. And sometimes people say, I can't study. Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he said, "Study to show thyself approved." Now look here. "Unto God." And many times what we're worried about is what man is going to think. And that's what we're concerned with. It's just what man thinks about what we know. But I tell you, brother, he says, "You're studying to show thyself approved unto God." Look, "a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You say to me, I can't study God's word. How many times do we find students in our school today that say they can't read? That say they can't write. It's not that they can't. Now, I realize there's people that are impaired, you know, that have handicaps and various other things. I realize there's people like that. But as a general rule today, and it's just like this in the churches, it's not that you can't, it's that you won't. Anybody here can study God's Word that's saved by the grace of God. You can study the Word of God when your pastor preaches the Word of God. That ought to just whet your appetite. When he preaches the Word of God or preaches a message, you ought not to leave it there. You ought to take it home with you. And you ought to begin to open the Scriptures and study the Word of God. And I'm always pleased when I have preached something and my people study it and the Lord shows them something there that He hadn't shown me already. That I've seen. And that comes by them being willing. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." And I believe another thing that we can do is that we can witness. You ever hear people say, "I don't know how to witness and I can't witness"? There isn't any such creature that's saved by the grace of God that has had an experience of grace. You know, I believe, and what we find, the Word of God tells us that in the book of Acts, chapter 1, and therein, verse 8. Look what the Lord said here. He said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Now look, "and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." Any person here tonight that is saved by the grace of God can witness. Every person here that's saved can tell somebody else how God saved them. Sometimes people get the idea that you have to know all the doctrines of the Bible, and you have to know everything that's written in the Bible. And they say, "I'm not qualified. I can't witness." All you have to do is to tell people how God saved you of your saving experience. One of the greatest preachers that ever lived, except apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, told only of his experience of meeting the Lord on the road to Damascus and how God saved him by his marvelous grace. He told it to soldiers that he was bound to. He told it to kings that he appeared before. Amen. Just gave his experience of how he was saved. So you say tonight, "I can't witness." No. No, it's not that you can't. It's just that you won't. Amen. Now bear with me. Think about this. It's just that you won't witness. There's not a saved person here, man, woman, boy, or girl, that cannot witness, because you can witness through Christ, which strengtheneth you. But then there's another thing that I believe that He has enabled us to do that's included in this all things. I can live a godly, separated life. Now I hear people today that are saved by the grace of God, are members of the New Testament Baptist Church, and they say, "Brother Harvey, I just can't live for the Lord." Don't tell me the Lord made a mistake like that. Lord don't make no mistakes. And the problem is, what people don't recognize, the saving of our life is just as much a part of our salvation as the saving of our soul. And there is an inseparable connection between being a child of God and believing or behaving like a child of God. There is an inseparable connection. You mark it down. God has made that inseparable connection there. I believe that we find When Paul spoke of this, when he wrote to Titus, and listen to what he said in Titus chapter 2, and therein, verse 11. Now look at these verses. What it says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. And he puts the insert here, hath appeared to all men. But now, read it like this. For the grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness, verse 12, and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. How many times? And I'm so thankful. And I say this to the glory of God. I'm so thankful that my salvation not only included the saving of my soul, but it included the saving of my life. Brother, my soul is saved. My soul is safe and secure. And He's saving my life. And if you're saved today, He's saving your life. And that's why that when the Word of God is preached to you, there's something pointed out in your life that's ungodliness, that's worldliness, and the Holy Spirit takes that truth to you. That's why then, that through Christ, you can live that godly, separated life for the glory of God. And if you don't, it's one of two causes. It's unbelief or it is rebellion. And many times, and what I'm saying up here, many times in most of this, I'm saying it's not unbelief. How many times do you hear people say, I believe that? But why don't you do it? It's rebellion. Rebelling against God's Word and rebelling against God. Oh, isn't the Lord merciful and long-suffering to us? To us, isn't He? Now think about these things that I'm preaching here tonight. So there is no such thing as a person that is saved by the grace of God that cannot live a godly, separated life. And that can apply to anything you want to apply it to. In the life of a believer, in the life of a child of God, whether it's dress, whether it's looks, whether it's places you go, whether it's friends you have, whatever you do, it applies to everything in the life of a believer. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to deliver us from this present evil world. Now another thing that I believe that we can do through Christ is I can stop habits which harm my body. Now I hear people say, they smoke and say, I can't quit smoking. I don't believe that. Sometimes people say, I'm a glutton and I can't stop it. I don't believe that. Now the reason I put that in there, because that's a sin too, put that in there. Usually people say when I talk about smoking, and if I don't, they don't think too much about drinking or drugs. You say smoking, they say, well, what about eating too much? I said, that's wrong too. You know, they think, they got me there. They look at me and they think, well, we got him there, but that's wrong too. And you can stop eating too much through Christ, which strengthens you. But if you listen to the flesh, you can't yourself. And you can't on your own. I've got people in my church that are chain smokers. And they come to me and they said, Brother Howard, pray with me and pray that the Lord will help me, give this up. They really know they ought to. They don't make no bones about it. When I preach on it, he hollers amen the loudest. Because he knows, and the people know, he knows what I'm preaching is true. It's the Word of God. Look in your Bibles too. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I believe that we find here that this is brought to our attention. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and there in verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body... Now that's not the way the body is used the other way here in Corinthians. The way the word body is used the other way is talking about the body of Christ at Corinth Church. But this is talking about this body. Talking about when Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies, Romans 12:1, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now look, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, Now this makes it serious. Who indwells you? God the Holy Spirit. And therefore, notice what he says, which you have of God, and you're not your own. Somebody said, I'll do it with my body, what I want to. And you're hearing that all the time today. You know, said, we have the freedom, we have the right to do what we want to with our body. No, you don't. You do not. You do not have the right for abortion. You don't have that right. Your body is not your own. Your body belongs to God. Look what he says. For you are bought with a price. Now look. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to him. And we say sometimes, Brother Harvey, I can't. Now I know. And I know how we do these old bodies. You know, you can get hooked on anything. You can get hooked on RC Cola. You can get hooked on Pepsi Cola. You can get hooked on diet drinks. I mean, you really can't. You can get hooked on coffee. I mean, and you know, and I'm not saying drinking these things are wrong. I'm not against drinking diet drinks and RC Colas and Pepsi Colas. And I'm not against drinking coffee. And I believe that we ought to do it in moderation, and I believe if it hurts us, we ought to quit it. I believe that. And so there's more to this thing than just, you know, as preachers preach on smoking and chewing and you know, and drinking and drugs. I believe that this pertains to anything that harms this body, anything that we do. As far as this body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Seems like it's easier sometimes for us to major on some things than it is others because we don't do them. That happens many times, but I believe it applies to anything. And so there's no such thing as you saying, I can't. Because you can do. It's not that you can't. What is it? It's you won't. Now that's what it is. Because you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Now, another thing that I believe that we can do is I can be faithful to my church. Now, sometimes people, they say to me, Brother Harvey, I can't be faithful. Now, I know better than that. October the 1st in Kentucky, I think it's about probably the same thing. October the 1st, looks like I'm hitting all these deer seasons. In these revivals, last time it was Upper Peninsula gun season when I was here. I remember that very well, even though it was 6 years ago. You know, preachers got a memory like an elephant. They don't forget things things like that. And down in Kentucky, about October the 1st, those guys are going to go out there and they're going to set them trees all day. I mean, now you think about it, they're going to set, and I mean religiously, they're setting that tree. I climb a tree. I mean, I'm not against hunting. I'm a sportsman. You'll find out if you're around me long enough. But I believe it ought to be not in the place of the Lord or the Lord's work. And I believe it ought to be in moderation. Whether it's fishing or whether it's hunting or whether it's golf or whatever it is. And you know, they say, now I can't. Sometimes, you know, they'll say, and I have some that say, I can't come to all the church. I've got this wrong way wrong with. And I'll guarantee you what they'll do. They'll take an urge to go fishing. And they'll get that camper fixed up. And they'll go down on that lake and they'll sit in the boat. And they ain't no harder work in the world than sitting in the boat fishing all day. I know from experience. Sitting in a boat fishing all day. And they'll sit there and never say a thing. And those guys down there, they're good men in the church. They'll climb a tree. And they'll sit in the tree hours on hours. I mean, you know, up a tree. And you know, it's a lot different than coming and sitting here. I believe I'd rather sit in these pews than I had a tree all day. I really had it if we're trying to figure that out. But I'm just showing you how really, if it looks that way to me, it looks that way to you, how does it look to the Lord? Now think about this. Now I can be faithful to my church. Hebrews 10:25. You've probably never heard this verse before. It says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Now that's the word of the Lord. Who assembles? Churches assemble. New Testament Baptist churches assemble. Where do we assemble? We assemble where God's added us, where He's placed us, where we are a member. Nothing else counts. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, it's not that you can't be faithful in the church. It's that you won't. Amen. I tell them, I'll guarantee you, I some of my members, I love them all dearly. I think the world of them. Some of them, they're sick more on Sunday than they are every day of their life. And they have Sundayitis. But I guarantee you, they'll punch that clock at that factory on Monday morning. And they'll do it early. Because they know if they don't do it, they don't get paid.